You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
Since 2001, the United States has imprisoned over 700 people at the Guantanamo Bay detention camp. They're classified as enemy combatants and were initially even denied the protections of the Geneva Conventions. 7 years later, hundreds of people still remain imprisoned outside the legal structures we usually associate with Western democracies. The Guantanamo detention camp is clearly immoral and has resulted in terrible treatment of those held. However, until recently, it's proven highly resistant to external challenges. The US-based National Lawyers Guild has called on Barack Obama to close it down the day he takes office. Marjorie Cohn is the president of the National Lawyers Guild, and she's joined me by phone. Good morning, Marjorie.
Good morning, Peter.
Now, we had some really good news the other day. A Washington District Court Judge Richard Leon ruled that there was no legal basis for keeping five Algerians or Bosnians in the prison. Can you tell us about this ruling and what the implications are?
Well, these men have been at Guantanamo for nearly 7 years, since January 20th, 2002. They're native Algerians. They were residing in Bosnia and Herzegovina, over 1,000 miles away from the battlefield in Afghanistan. And all six were arrested, well, six men, five of whom were just ordered released, but these six men were arrested by the Bosnian authorities in October of 2001 for their alleged involvement in a plot to bomb the U.S. Embassy in Sarajevo. On January 17th, the authorities later said there was no evidence of that, but on January 17th, 2002, they were released from prison in Sarajevo, but they were turned over to the United States, which transported them to Guantanamo Bay, and they've been there ever since. So these are men who are innocent. There is no evidence of any terrorist activity, and yet they have been held in these small cages for many years at Guantanamo, and abusive treatment, even torture, has been documented there. And finally, a judge, as you said, U.S. District Judge Richard Leon, ordered that the government release five of them. He said there was insufficient evidence of any terrorist activity. And in a very unusual comment, the judge said to the government that they should not appeal his ruling. They should go ahead and free these prisoners. He said, quote, 7 years of waiting for our legal system to give them an answer to their legal question is enough. So this is a very, very significant ruling, and it was only because the Supreme Court last term decided the issue of Boumediene versus Bush, which is this very case, that the prisoners at Guantanamo have a right to habeas corpus. And habeas corpus means a right to go to a neutral, impartial judge, present your case, and say, I am being wrongfully held, I'm innocent. And the Bush administration has, at every step of the way, resisted giving the men at Guantanamo any kind of legal rights at all. They've set up two different kinds of kangaroo court systems, one to declare them enemy combatants, the other to try a handful of them, a few of them, for war crimes. And the treatment of the prisoners at Guantanamo, where the there has been this documented torture and abuse and lack of due process, has really been a symbol of U.S. hypocrisy in the area of human rights, where the United States looks at other countries, criticizes them for their human rights violations, and yet some of the most egregious human rights violations are going on right at Guantanamo Bay.
Now, you've talked about Guantanamo being a legal black hole. Can you tell us about that, what the legal problems are?
Well, yes. Basic standards of due process in both the United States law and in international law require that when a person is held in custody, that he be taken within a reasonable time to a neutral judge and determine whether or not he's being lawfully held. And if he's not, he should be released. And if there is probable cause to believe he's committed a crime, he should be speedily tried. And yet all of these due process protections have gone out the window. The Bush administration purposely set up a prison at Guantanamo to create a legal black hole so that U.S. courts wouldn't have jurisdiction. And the United States' position, the government's position, was that Guantanamo is on Cuban soil and therefore U.S. courts don't have any jurisdiction. Well, the U.S. Supreme Court has twice rejected that argument and said that the United States exercises complete jurisdiction and control over the Guantanamo Bay base, and therefore U.S. law does apply and does protect the detainees at Guantanamo.
What have you called on Barack Obama to do?
The National Lawyers Guild has called on President-elect Barack Obama to immediately close the Guantanamo Bay prison and to release, repatriate, resettle, or bring to trial, if there is probable cause to believe that they've committed a crime, these detainees, in strict accordance with international human rights and humanitarian law and principles of fundamental justice pertaining to criminal proceedings. Now, there are currently two different kinds of proceedings at Guantanamo that Bush has set up. One is called the Combatant Status Review Tribunals, and these are kangaroo courts set up to decide whether someone's an enemy combatant. There's no right to see all the evidence against you or even have a lawyer. There's a right to a personal representative who can even argue against the detainee. There's no right of confidentiality. It's really prosecutors who have been involved, military prosecutors who have been involved with these combat status review tribunals, have resigned, many of them, and criticized them for basically rubber stamping the executive and not providing any meaningful due process. And then the other courts are called the military commissions, which were set up originally by Bush and Rumsfeld in November 2001 to try prisoners for war crimes, and the Supreme Court struck those down as unconstitutional in the Hamdan case. So the Bush administration rammed through Congress a new Military Commissions Act, which one of the things it did was to strip habeas corpus rights from them, and that was overturned in this Boumediene Supreme Court decision. But the Bush administration has held the position that these people could not be tried in U.S. civil courts with all the due process protections in federal courts in the United States. Barack Obama has said, he said in August, quote, "It's time to better protect the American people and our values by bringing swift and sure justice to terrorists through our courts and our Uniform Code of Military Justice." So Obama was saying that our civilian courts and our military courts in the United States are perfectly suited to try these people. And yet, three Obama advisors recently told the Associated Press that Obama may establish a new court system, new special national security courts, and they're concerned about the disclosure of classified information in the civilian courts and in the military courts martial. But we have a Classified Information Procedures Act, which provides a perfectly adequate means of protecting classified information in existing U.S. courts. And former federal prosecutors have said, they just issued a 171-page paper, and they said, "We are not aware of a single terrorism case in which these procedures have failed and a serious security breach has occurred." And they think, and the National Lawyers Guild agrees, that national security courts would give the government more power and make it easier for the government to secure convictions. So the National Lawyers Guild is also calling on President-elect Obama not to establish or to forego establishing national security courts and try the men for whom there is probable cause that they've committed a crime in U.S. courts.
What indications do you have that Obama can or will do this when he gets into office, will actually close down the base?
Well, he has said he'll close the base, and I think that he will. So the question then is, what does he do with the men and the boys who are there? And for example, there are 17 men. They're called Uyghurs, which is a minority group in Western China, from Western China, and 17 of them They're at Guantanamo, and 17 of them were ordered released last month by another district court judge in Washington. And yet the government is has appealed, and the government says that they agree. The government agrees they're not enemy combatants, but the government has resisted releasing them. Because they cannot find a country to take them. But the federal district court judge said, well, there's no evidence that they have committed any crime. They're not terrorists. They're not enemy combatants. Release them into the United States. And yet the Bush administration has refused. So the question is, what will Obama do about them? One thing I forgot to mention in the Boumi Dien case, in the case of the Algerians from Bosnia, is that the Judge Leon did find that one of these men, a man named Ben Saya, was an al-Qaeda facilitator who sought to arrange travel to Afghanistan by others to join in armed hostilities toward U.S. and coalition partners. And the judge applied a preponderance of the evidence standard and said that the government had proved that it was more likely than not that Ben Saya planned to take up arms against the United States, but also planned to facilitate travel of others to do the same. So there were six men in this Boumi Dien case that was before the federal court, and five of them be released, but one of them continue to be held. So there is a procedure in place. Federal judges can look at the evidence and say there is evidence to hold somebody. He is a danger. There is evidence that he's a terrorist. If not, then they should be freed, and that's the position that the National Lawyers Guild is taking.
Like, it sounds like fantastic news, both the case and Obama's pledge to close it down. But getting back to the way in which it was set up, are there opportunities for holding those who set up this whole legal fiasco accountable for their actions?
Yes, and that's, you mean the officials of the U.S. government?
Yes,
yeah,
indeed.
That's another issue, but yes, Obama has said that he will look at the evidence and see if there is an investigation warranted. Many people, including myself, in my book Cowboy Republic, Six Ways the Bush Gang Has Defied the Law, have documented extensive lawbreaking in many areas by the Bush administration, and one of the areas in one of the chapters in my book is the Guantanamo Gulag, in the words of Amnesty International. And certainly there is overwhelming evidence against Bush and Cheney and Rumsfeld and Rice and many other officials, including lawyers who used to work for the Justice Department, many of them, John Yoo, Jay Bybee, David Addington, William Haynes, who were part of a common plan to violate the Geneva Conventions by redefining torture and concocting defenses to the commission of torture to allow Bush and the other government officials to get away with torture and abuse. So there is evidence, I think, overwhelming evidence of their certainly probable cause to believe that they should be tried. But I think that Obama, who wants to be perceived as a uniter, not a divider, will be very hesitant to initiate war crimes prosecutions. And I believe that Reuters came out last week with a report that officials say that Obama probably will not pursue prosecutions. Now, that doesn't mean that Congress should not set up commissions like the Church Commission in the 70s, which was reacting against the abuses of the FBI and Richard Nixon, who were spying on their critics. Congress should take the lead, and there's going to be an overwhelmingly Democratic Congress, but I don't know how independent Congress will be from the executive, just like they haven't been under the Bush administration. And the first test of that was with Joe Lieberman, where there was a move to strip him of his committee chairmanship of the Homeland Security Committee and say that he couldn't vote with the Democratic caucus. Joe Lieberman is a senator from Connecticut, and he's an independent. He's been a Democrat for many, many years. But John McCain's right-hand man during the campaign. He badmouthed Barack Obama and his policies. I think that where Lieberman was coming from is that he really wants the U.S. to attack Iran, because he thinks that Iran is a threat to Israel, which I don't see why people think it's a threat to Israel, but he does. And I think that he may be convinced now that Obama will I don't know. Obama has said he would negotiate with Iran, so I don't know. But Lieberman, Obama basically interjected himself into this whole decision among the Senate Democrats about whether to keep Lieberman in his chairmanship and in the caucus, and said Obama said we should keep him there. He wants to be a big tent to bring everybody in, and the senators ultimately agreed with Obama and did keep Lieberman in there. So I don't know that Congress will actually, they certainly want to work with Obama. I don't know how independent they will be from the new president.
Well, thanks very much for talking with me this morning. At least we've got a beginning of the end of Guantanamo Base itself.
And I want to say overwhelmingly that the bottom line is that there's a new day now in the United States and in the world, and we have a president who is 180 degrees on the other side of George W. Bush, and you can already see the reaction around the world to his election, not just because he's an African American, but because he's an incredible person. He's really unique, and we're very, very lucky to have him. But again, we will have to challenge him from the left, because certainly he will be challenged from the right as well.
Okay, thanks very much for talking with me.
Thank you, Peter.
I've been talking with Marjorie Cohn. Marjorie Cohn is the president of the National Lawyers Guild, and for more information on their activities, you can check out nlg.org, and of course you can also pick up her book, Cowboy Republic.